Amen. All right, we'll be in the book of James this morning, chapter 1. Man, so thankful that God has richly blessed us beyond measure. I'm telling you, we look around and we see nothing but blessings around us. We see that God is in control, and I'm thankful for that. Even when things seem out of control, our God's still in control. And I'm glad that His word is still true. I'm glad that His people are still wanting to worship Him, aren't you? Aren't you glad that there's still people wanting to come together, worship the Lord? That blesses me. I'm thankful that I'm not alone. I've had some different reminders about when it was the COVID time. I know we don't want to think about that, but it was just a handful of years ago. And I remember doing the same thing I'm doing this morning, except it was just me in the office by myself staring at a camera, didn't hear an amen, didn't hear anything. You know, one of the things as you're preaching, you start to look, and if I see everyone's confused, or most of the faces are confused, I know I probably have to slow down and explain it a little bit. Or, if I see people starting to nod it off, maybe I need to raise the volume a little bit. But when you're looking at the camera and you don't get any feedback, you can't do things like that. But I'm glad that we can come together. Aren't you? Aren't you glad? That technology was good for a season, but I'm glad we can come together, worship together. But James chapter 1, we're going to look at the first five verses of the book of James. It says this: James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Lord, we thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for allowing us to come together. And Lord, I pray that you would fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us our minds and our hearts today, Lord, your word. And Lord, let it not just go in our head, but Lord, help us to apply it to our lives. If there's any lost today, I pray they'd come to know you. And Lord, for the Christians today, Lord, help us to encourage us today, strengthen us, challenge us, Lord, all in your word. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
James was the half-brother of Jesus Christ, so he grew up with Jesus in the same house. And Jude, who writes a book a couple over from this, he was also a half-brother. And so initially, they were deniers of Jesus Christ. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. But then sometime later, they end up believing in the Lord. And James actually ends up leading the church in Jerusalem. So he changes his life completely around. 1 Corinthians 15:7 tells us that when Jesus rose from the dead, he saw James. So he met with James before appearing to the disciples. And we don't have this in the Bible, but history says he was a man of prayer. James loved to pray. He was a praying man. And it said, in fact, all the way up, the way he was martyred, they say they pushed him off of the side of the temple, and it didn't kill him immediately. So when they found him on the bottom, they ended up beating him to finish him off. And they said the whole time they were beating him, he's praying for the people that were beating him. This is a man of prayer. But I like, look at verse 1. It says, this is the greeting. This is the beginning of the letter that he's writing. He's saying, just like Jude, he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have said, James, a brother of Jesus, right? Because he was. He wouldn't be lying. But look what he calls himself. He said, I'm a servant. And Jude does the same thing, right? They had a claim to fame, but they're saying, no, I am humble. He has completely changed my heart. I don't deserve any accolades. I don't deserve anything like that. I'm just another servant of Jesus Christ. And in fact, the way he's saying it, he's basically saying, I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, the more we realize that we are his servant, the better off we'll be. Amen. If you're saved today, you are a servant as well. But right after the greeting, what's he saying? He's saying, my brethren. So we know he's talking to the church. He's talking to people that are saved by Jesus Christ, born again. Look what he says in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Now we got to look at this verse closely. I know it's a short one, but you got to look at it close. Let me ask you this question. Does it say, my brethren, count it all joy if ye fall into divers temptations? No. What's it say? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That divers temptations just is another way of saying different kinds of trials. He is not saying if, as a Christian, you will fall into different trials. He says when. Amen?
Yeah.
I don't care what the prosperity preacher tells you on TV. Right? The health and wealth jet flying preacher that goes all around. I don't care what they promise. Trials will come. Yeah, amen? Right. Trials will come because they didn't like Jesus, and they're not going to like us who's continuing in the name of Jesus either. Amen? Trials will come. To every single believer in Jesus Christ, we are going to face difficulties. And here's the thing. We don't normally walk into them. Amen? Usually we're not willingly saying, I can't wait to walk into this difficulty, walk into this trial. Right? That's why the verse doesn't say when you walk into them. It says when you fall into them, right? That's what happens. You're going along. Everything's going good. You got the week planned out. You've got your five-year plan and everything else. And then all of a sudden, you fall into different types of trials. Right? Amen? We should be breaking new ground, but he's making sure we understand right here. Hey, it's not going to be all sunshines and roses and perfection. We're living in a sin-cursed world. Amen? And we are facing the effects of sin all around us and death. But he's saying, hey, these things will happen, right? Circumstances change. Amen? Accidents happen. Jobs are lost. We fall into hard times, difficulties, trial, pain, frustration, depression. All of these things happen. And we're going to fall into a variety of throughout our Christian life. Amen? All types of different ones. But what's the Bible say in verse 2? This is the hard part. We've talked about every other word. What's he say? Count it all joy.
That's right.
Ooh. We know trials come, right? Yeah. We know we're not willingly doing them. We're falling into them. But count it all joy. Well, right? No problem. Right? I do that, right? I'm joyous. We can close our Bibles. We can go home. We beat the other churches to lunch? No. No. You know, it tells us why in the next verse. I'm glad the Bible explains things to us. When it makes a statement like that, it's easy to read, it's easy to say it, but that's a hard pill to swallow. Count it all joy. All the trials we faced in our life, count it all joy. Look at the next verse. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now again, we got to slow down a little bit. We use words like faith, you know, faith, patience. We use these words all the time. So we got to slow down. You know, the Bible talks about two different types of faith. One faith that the Bible talks about is saving faith, right? We put our faith in Jesus Christ and His gospel. We trusted in Him to forgive us of our sins, even though we didn't see Him live a perfect life. We didn't see Him die on the cross. We didn't see Him buried. We didn't see Him raised from the dead. But I believe it. Amen? Don't you believe it? And when you realized that you were a sinner, that you admitted that, you were tired of your old life, you repented of that, you heard the gospel, He touched your heart, and you decided to call on Jesus' name for salvation, you put your faith in Jesus Christ. A lot of times the Bible calls it the faith when it's talking about that. That's the faith that you put your trust in for salvation. That's not the faith he's talking about right here. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The other faith the Bible talks about is after you're saved. And I don't have a great word for this, so I'll just call it living faith, right? This is the day-to-day living faith that he's talking about. Romans 10:17 tells us where faith comes from. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God, right? This living faith, everyday faith, comes from God's word. And what is the definition? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you go through and read Hebrews chapter 11, you see over and over again examples of faith, right? You get Noah, Abel, Enoch, Moses, all the way through David, different ones. You see faith examples of in Hebrews chapter 11. And in every one of those, it's an action. They're doing something, right? They're trusting. Noah got a warning from God. Amen. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. God warned him that a flood was coming. He said, you build that ark, you get in that ark, and everyone who's in there will be safe. It had not rained that way. And he said, you know what? I trust God more than the meteorologist. I trust God more than anything. And during those 100 to 120 years, however long it actually took him to build it. I know he faced difficulties. Amen. I know he faced problems and trials because we all do, but he kept going. Amen. And that's that day by day faith that even when, you know, things are going on, that he's looking back and saying, God told me to do it. I'm going to do it. That's the living faith that we're talking about. It's always rooted in the Bible. Amen. If somebody's saying they're walking by faith and it's against God's word, you're not walking by faith. Amen. You're walking your own way. It's always in the Bible, and it always needs the Lord to supply things. That's what the first verse in Hebrews 11 says. Hey, when you are doing what God wants you to, you have to trust in Him to supply the things that aren't there, to fill in the gaps. Amen. Trusting things that are not seen, trusting things that will come later, and everything else. This is the day by day faith that we're talking about, and not just faith of just doing anything we want. The faith that's doing what he wants us to do. This is the living faith he's talking about. Biblical, trusting God, doing God's will. That's the faith that he says right here. Not saving faith. Remember, we already talked about that. Not saving faith. He's talking to my brethren. So Christians, they're already saved. We're not working for salvation. We're not working to keep salvation. This is what happens after you're saved. And what he is saying now, our living faith is tested every trial that we go through. Yeah. That's what he's saying. Now notice, he's saying, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He didn't say that the trials gave you faith. Remember, where does faith come from? The Bible, hearing, and hearing the word of God. He doesn't say it already has to be there, but it gets tested. All right, exercise, right? When you trust in him, when you're doing his will, that's biblical, right? And it gets tested by a trial. That is the test that he's talking about. And then the last word, patience. Patience has a couple meanings too. You know, one definition of patience I don't like: you go to the doctor's office, they tell you to get there 15 minutes early, you're there early, you go on my chart, you do all the paperwork ahead of time, right? You're good to go, and you just sit and you wait and you wait. They bring you to a room so you can wait in another place, right? That's not the patience he's talking about. Not the sitting and waiting types of patience, but there's another kind of patience. The patience that says, I'm not giving up, right? I'm doing something and things aren't going right, or they're not going the way I want them to, but I'm going to keep going. And another word for that would be like resilience, right? Is that just not wanting to quit. That's what he's talking about. The I'm not quitting, I'm not giving up type of patience. Okay, I know we've said a lot, all right, but now let's look at those two verses again. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Go to verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Trials come for two reasons. Number one, remember what I said faith is based in the Bible. If you go against the Bible, if you are living sinfully, if you're in rebellion to God, He'll chastise you as a Christian.
Yeah, he will.
He'll send you trials to try to wake you up and get you in the right track. Yes. Some of the not every trial, some of the trials we've put ourselves into because we've decided to go against God. Yes. That's some of the trials. That's some of not all of them. Not all of them. Sometimes a trial just happens.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen?
In
fact, a lot of them, they just happen. They, you know, and the ones for when you're unbiblical, you just need to get back on track. But then the other ones are what I think that he's mainly talking about. Well, first, he says, let patience have her perfect work. Hey, if you're on the wrong track and he's sending you a trial, you need to patiently endure and get things back on track. Right? And let the word of God, let God do what he wants to do in your life. Right? He's talking about a perfect work. He's saying, hey, I want to grow you. I want to make you complete. I want to draw you closer to me. But also, he's saying, hey, the trials that just happen, what happens there is when you endure, when you continue, when you don't quit, it builds patience, right? The patience you have starts to grow. And he says that perfect work, you start to draw closer to me. You start to be more of what I want you to be. And you're saying, hey, I'm not going to give up. So if you stop and think about it, the Bible is saying every single trial can have a good outcome. Every one of them. Whether you're stopping a sinful behavior, that's a good outcome. Or whether you're building more resilience, more patience. He's saying, let patience have her perfect work. And you realize this. You want to know who or what is the determining factor of the outcome of every trial? We are. When a trial hits us, we control more than we think we control. Right? A lot of times we throw up our hands and we can't. No. No, if you're in a trial because of a besetting sin, you decide whether you're going to take care of that or not. Amen? If you're in a trial for the that just happens, he's trying to get us closer to him and those things that test our faith. Many, many, many years ago, when I started in banking at Huntington, they had this campaign. We had little signs on our monitors. Now, these were the big monitors, remember? The big ones. And you only have one. I know I've lost a bunch of people already, but we had these little signs they made. It said E plus R equals O. And I've never forgotten it. Because what they were trying to teach was more of an attitude like type of a lesson. And they said E is the event. It happens. And usually a negative event, right? Something negative happens. O is the outcome. That's the end of the formula. Event. The R is response. And what they were trying to get across is you can't control the E. E's happen every day, right? Good things, bad things happen. But you can control the outcome. You're thinking, well, how can I do that? The response.
Yeah.
That's what they were saying.
Amen.
How you respond to what happens controls the outcome. And man, that stuck with me ever since. I thought, man, that's good. That's a good way of simplifying it, especially if you like, you know, little formulas like that. But that's what he's saying. And this is kind of what the Bible is saying as well. It's saying the same thing. You can't control when or what type of trial or how long they'll last. You can't control any of that. But you can control how you're going to respond to it.
Yeah.
And that's what he's saying. This is what he's saying. Number one, if you are in a trial because of something unbiblical or unsinful, hey, you need to work on it. And you can ask him to help you with that, and he'll help you to fix it, remove it, change it, and then have patience during that process. But for the other types of trials, and maybe you're in one now, or maybe one's coming around the corner, he's saying, hey, in these times where your faith is tried or tested, are we going to trust God and what he's called us to do? Are we going to show our faith is strong enough to trust God no matter what happens? Right? Because here's the key. Remember I said the living faith is doing what God wants you to do, trusting in him to do it. Right? And this is the thing. Trials are going to come and they're going to try to get you off of that. Does that make sense? If I'm in the center of God's will, where God wants me to do, where God wants me to be, a trial's going to come and it's going to test whether I stay in the center of His will or I get out of His will. That's what it's doing. He's saying that right here. So here's the thing. It's going to try to get us out of that. I'll give you another example. Who started, I don't want anybody to raise hands, but think about this. Maybe back when you were in school. Who started a team and something happened, it got hard, you didn't like two-a-days, the coach didn't put you in enough, and you quit, right? Maybe you started college. You took a few classes. You got a professor that was awful, right? He said, I'm done with this, right? You quit. Or, I mean, you can, a million examples. Maybe it was a job. Now, sometimes there are good reasons to quit jobs, but maybe this wasn't a good reason. You just didn't like to show up at work every day, and you quit, right? Have you ever encountered things like that? Am I the only one? Am I by myself up here? Now, I didn't start a sport, so don't worry about it. But see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Have you started serving the Lord in some way, and a difficulty happened, or somebody said something to you, and you quit? Right? That's what James is talking about. That's what he's talking about. In your life, did you do that? Or the opposite? Did you continue to be patient? Did you continue to serve no matter what trials came into your life? If you continued, you built resilience. You built patience, right? Because think about it. If you've been resilient and patient and continued to do what God's called you to do, even in the face of difficulty, even in the face of problems, you've built up extra resilience or grit or whatever you want to call it. And I'll tell you how we know that, because it takes more today to get me out of God's will than it did in the past,
yeah.
Right? If the devil is going to try to get me off this thing, he should have tried years ago. He still can, but it's going to be harder now because of more resilience. That's what we can say. We can say that. We've gone through these trials. We've gone through these things. And so since we know this, then we can look back and say, I didn't like those trials. They were painful. I was frustrated and hurt and everything else. Yet when I continued, there was a good outcome after all. We can count it all joy.
Amen.
Usually later on. But we can. We can do that. But here's the thing right here. I don't remember the guy's name, but I listened to this guy, and it was one of those motivational speakers, but kind of Christian, kind of motivational. I mean, you know, depending on his audience, he kind of mixed it up, flipped back and forth. But I listened to him one time, and he was given this group, and it wasn't a Christian group. It was a workplace, and he was given his story of his life and how he really persevered and everything else. And by the time I got to the end of it, I thought, well, listening to him, you'd have thought he just did it all on his own, right? I'm just that good, right? I did it all on my own. That's pride, right? That's pride. If you're like, listen, I've gone through this, and look, man, look at where I'm at. I'm glad there's a verse 5 in this passage, because we've gotten into some deep stuff. Look what God says right here in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Wisdom's more than knowledge. Knowledge is I read a book, I put it up here in my head. Wisdom is I actually apply it. I do it. I live it. When it comes to the word, you can memorize scriptures, and that's a great thing, but we need to live scriptures as well. Get it in your head and your heart and live it with your life. We need wisdom from God all the time. Amen? This is something we need. And you've probably heard me and other pastors quote this verse, but did you know he's talking about the first use of this is in trials, right? When you're in a trial, when it happens, when you fall into it and you're not sure what to do and you're getting frustrated, if any man lack wisdom, if there's any a time we need wisdom, it's in the middle of a trial, because the devil wants us to get away from what God wants us to be, but instead we need to get closer to God, closer to his word, more in prayer to him, because that way we'll be able to resist the temptation to walk away from what God has for our life. And that's it. We need to turn to Him and admit to God what He already knows about us, right? I'm struggling right now. I'm in trouble right now. I'm not joyful right now. How do I be patient? Lord, teach me. Give me wisdom. And it says He will give liberally. He'll give you more wisdom than you actually need. And He'll upbraideth not. He's not going to call you a dummy. He wants you to come to Him, and He wants to give wisdom. So what has this passage told us? Why trials happen, right? To deal with sinfulness, to test our resilience, our patience. It's explained our state of mind. We need to count it all joy, which a lot of times is past tense. Tells us what we need to do. We need to ask God for wisdom. Then when we realize that, it goes back to the E plus R equals O. It all comes down to how you're going to respond, right? Trials are going to come. Are you going to quit? Are you going to keep going? I bet there are people in this sanctuary that if you picked something in their life, they could tell me, or you could tell us, I've never quit in that area. I've wanted to. I faced difficulty. I didn't quit. I kept on going. Amen?
Amen.
You're resilient, right? That's resiliency. That's what we told about. So what is that area? Is that area career, education, hobby? What is it? Are you as resilient with the Lord and His will and His work in your life? Right? Because if we're saying, hey, I didn't quit on this, but I quit on the Lord, then you're telling me whatever that thing is that you'll never quit on has a higher priority than the Lord. And if we ask God what that means, I think He'll tell us that's an idol is what that is. If you have put such a high a priority on that you'll never give up, you'll never quit, no matter what the coach tells you, no matter what happens, no matter what the professor does, no matter what the employer does, no matter what the, you know, if it's a relationship or whatever, I will never, never, it doesn't matter what throws at me, yet the littlest thing will knock me off of doing what God wants me to do. That thing is an idol, and you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You're in trouble. You know, and I was thinking about it. I was thinking about in my mind an example of this. One of the things I was thinking about is Brooke and my marriage, right? The day it started, we didn't realize it, but the day we got married, our relationship is weaker than it is today, right? We've grown stronger. And I think a lot of people that are married can say the same thing. After time, it grows stronger together. Right? Most of you might have heard this story, but we got married 3 weeks later. Half of Brooke's face goes numb. We go to the hospital, and they're telling me it's either a stroke or torn a blood vessel in her neck. And if it's one of those two things, she might not make it. 3 weeks. We've only been married 3 weeks. Right? And they're telling me this. Next morning, they figure it out and says she's got MS. She's going to have to deal with this. Not sure what's going on, right? All these questions and everything. You know, we'd heard of it before. We didn't know what it meant. Amen. And all the things that, you know, the bills and the drugs, everything else. We didn't know any of these things. But what did it do? It strengthened our relationship, right? We wanted to have children. And it wasn't an instant thing, right? Month after month, getting your hopes up. Taking the test, negative, negative, negative. Years passing, thinking maybe we just will never have children. Then get pregnant with Harper. What a blessing. Then I remember we were supposed to find out the gender. We took our niece with us, real young. They do the scan. They're looking at the blood vessels and the blood flowing through the cord. And they say the cord is supposed to have 3 blood vessels. It only has 2. She might be normal. But we got to watch her head, her spine, her kidneys, her liver, everything. So we got bad news. We come back for another ultrasound. We get a little bit of good news. We get more bad news. And it continued like that all the way till she came. But she was fine. But those trials, right? That was a trial. What did it do? Strengthened our marriage, strengthened our relationship. We were able to go through it, right? Wanted to try to have another child. Got pregnant real quick. But what happened? Lost that baby. The same morning, her grandpa passed away. Hours later, miscarried that baby.
And then that was a Saturday. And I was preaching the next day. Lord had given me a message. I did not want to preach. I got up that morning and I said, Lord, this is all I could do. I said, Lord, I don't feel like it. I've got nothing in me. I don't want to do this, but you called me to preach. I didn't call me to preach. You called me to preach. And your word says to be instant in season and out of season. That means when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. And I said, Lord, if this is going to happen today, I've got nothing. It's got to be all you. Yes. And he did it. Amen. He used me. That didn't use anything of me, but used me. And was able to preach a message. But again, what did that do? It strengthened. But that showed me something right there. Right? The verse 5 is not maybe. Yeah. And then verse 6 is asking him for the other things, not just wisdom, but everything that we need. In the middle of the trial, it's not maybe I pray to him. It's I go to him and just admit what's the truth. I've got nothing left. I want to quit. I'm hurting. I don't feel like it. And Lord, you've called me to do this. You knew this day would come. I need you today. And he supplied. What did that do? That brought resilience.
Amen.
I don't know what the next trial is, but I can look back and I can say he took care of me here, 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 and here. He's going to take care of me today.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? You can do the same thing. You can look back. He's taking care of me. Right?
Yeah.
That's the patience. That's building. Patience, not the doctor's office patience, but the patience that I'm not giving up. I don't care what happens. I don't care if somebody says something I don't like. I don't care if, you know, a brother or sister in Christ does me wrong, which is not a good thing. But again, it's not enough to cause you to quit. You're saying, you know what? I've been doing this a while. I've been serving God a while. He has been faithful. I've not been faithful. Everyone around me has not been faithful. He's been faithful. And that's who I'm serving. And I don't care what trial comes, because it will come. We will fall into it. It'll be all sorts of things that we never think about. But the question is, how will we respond?
Yes.
Marriage is stronger. Amen?
Amen.
Relationship with the Lord is stronger. I'm saying I'm not giving up.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's what James is talking about right here. I'm not giving up. Amen?
Amen?
No matter what happens, God wants us to endure. He wants us to trust him. Amen? But where are you at today? And maybe you're saying, Mike, this sounds great, but I've already quit. I've already walked away. Right? Is that you today? I may be mad at you. I may be frustrated with you. But again, it doesn't matter. He loves you.
Yes.
He's merciful.
Amen.
And God will say, I'm stealing this from Jimmy. Wherever you laid that cross down, pick it right back up.
Yeah.
He'll let
Amen.
You do that today.
Amen.
He'll let you pick it back up and continue on, even if you've quit over and over and over again. Some of those around you may say, you've quit too many times. I don't trust you anymore. The Lord says, come on back.
Yeah.
Come on back.
Amen.
Come on back. Amen? He's way more merciful than we are. He's way more merciful than we are to ourselves.
Amen?
Amen? He's a merciful God. You can start right now. Maybe you're serving the Lord today. Don't you quit. Amen?
Amen.
We already talked about Noah. He didn't quit. Right? Paul, shipwrecked, everything else. He didn't quit. You know who was in my notes this morning? Jimmy. He didn't quit.
Right.
I didn't know he was coming. He didn't quit. Right? We can't quit. Amen? We're going to finish this thing together.
Amen.
And what's going to happen? We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through difficulties. We're going to help one another. We're going to pray for one another. And all that's going to do is strengthen us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
I hate telling stories about myself, but my life's the one I know the best. But this December, I will have played the piano 25 years here. 25. And that seems crazy. The very first night I did it, I've told you the story, I won't tell it again, but basically someone said something to discourage me, and really, it could have broken me that night, and all 25 years gone, vanish away. But it didn't. Now, I credit the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, amen.
But somebody could come up to me and say the same thing, and you think it would bother me at all? Throw the music away? All right. I'll just buy a new one, right?
Amen.
Throw it away? Okay. That's fine. You think I'm going to stop? No. No. Not till someone else comes along or whatever other need happens. That would be the only reason I walk away from it. Probably when these younger kids will replace me, and I say, praise God.
Amen.
But I'll just do something else. Amen?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's where we need to be. That's where we need to be. Because listen, I will say something and preach something that will offend you. We'll offend each other. We'll get mad at things. We'll blame God sometimes. Sometimes the trial's so bad, you blame God. But what we really need to do is we need to stop and say, listen, I'm not quitting.
Amen.
You want to know why? You could look at me and say, wow, 25 years is a long time. I could quit tomorrow.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. You know who we need to look to? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are looking at Jesus Christ. And if anyone could have quit, if anyone would have had a legitimate reason to quit, it would have been Jesus Christ spending 6 hours on the cross, paying for the sins that he didn't deserve to do any of that. He loved us. He did it in our place. Jesus never quit. So we're never going to quit. I'm going to ask everyone to stand.